Understanding Islam by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. An introduction to Islam. Its beliefs are compared and contrasted with those of Christianity. How should Christians share their faith with Muslims? What is Islam? Well, one Islamic source says, the religion of Islam is the acceptance of and obedience to the teachings of God, which he revealed through his last prophet, Muhammad. I should point out that Islam and Muslim are derived from the Arabic word for submission, not the similar word for peace. Sources we'll be using are material from an Islamic perspective will be largely drawn from A Brief Illustrated Guide to Understanding Islam, second edition, edited by I.A. Ibrahim and published by Darussalam of Houston, Texas in 1997. We'll abbreviate it here as BIGUI, B-I-G-U-I. Some basic Islamic beliefs are belief in God, belief in the angels, belief in God's revealed books, belief in the prophets and messengers of God, belief in the Day of Judgment, belief in divine predestination. Let's look at each of these briefly in turn. Belief in God. Bigui says, Muslims believe in one unique, inconquerable God, who has no son nor partner, and that none has the right to be worshipped but him alone. Thus the deity of Jesus is rejected. Most Muslims believe the Christian Trinity consists of God, Mary, and Jesus, based on some of the apocryphal early materials. We've heard some about that in the recent Da Vinci Code and the Gnostic Gospels, etc. Well, this is somewhat of a modification of that sort of thing. Belief in the angels. Muslims believe in the existence of the angels and that they are honored creatures. The angels worship God alone, obey him, and act only by his command. Among the angels is Gabriel, who brought down the Quran to Muhammad, says Bigui, page 47. Belief in God's revealed books. Muslims believe that God revealed books to his messengers as proof for mankind and as guidance for them. Among these books is the Quran, which God created, which God revealed to the prophet Muhammad. God has guaranteed the Quran's protection from any corruption and distortion. Page 48. The Bible is viewed by Muslims as revealed by God, but subsequently corrupted. We also should point out that although the Muslims believe that the Quran is protected from any corruption or distortion, they do believe that certain statements in the Quran have been superseded by later statements. God can change his mind in such a way as to change what one is to do. Most of the argument over whether Islam is a peaceful or a warlike religion turns on this very question. Belief in the prophets and messengers of God. Muslims believe in the prophets and messengers of God, starting with Adam, including Noah, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Jesus. Peace be upon them. But God's final message, a reconfirmation of the eternal message, was revealed to the prophet Muhammad, the last prophet sent by God. Belief in the Day of Judgment. Muslims believe in the Day of Judgment, Day of Resurrection, when all people will be resurrected for God's judgment according to their beliefs and deeds. Muslims do not, in general, have assurance that their sins will be forgiven. Belief in divine predestination. Muslims believe in divine predestination, but this belief does not mean that human beings do not have free will. This means that they can choose right or wrong and that they are responsible for their choices. Bigui 48. Belief in divine predestination includes four things. God knows everything. God has recorded all that will happen, all that has happened and will happen. Whatever God wills to happen, happens. God is the creator of everything. Bigui 48, 49. Well, a quick tour then of some of your basic Muslim beliefs. Comparing Christianity and Islam, a neat way that I've seen to suggest how to compare this is to consider the Christian Apostles' Creed. We're first going to go through it as it stands. It should be what mark the items rejected by Muslim Islam by with red type. So here's the Apostles' Creed as it stands in English translation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Okay, there it is. How does that look if we mark in red the items rejected by Islam? Well, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. One would put in red the Father. So I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Put in red the last half. And in Jesus Christ. Okay? So what we see in those two is that Islam rejects the Father-Son relationship between God Almighty and Jesus Christ. Third statement about Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Muslims would put no red lines on that. They believe that that is how it goes. Well, we need to qualify what's intended by the Holy Ghost. They do not believe in the Trinity, so that is not going to be something separate from the Father in some way. The next stuff, the end of the Apostles' Creed, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and buried. They would put all in red because they believe that someone was substituted for Jesus on the cross and that it was he who was crucified, died, and buried. Likewise, they would then mark in red everything in the next statement. He descended into hell, the third day rose again from the dead, because not having died, he doesn't need to rise from the dead. They do allow the next statement, he ascended into heaven. So the idea is he snatched off to heaven while a substitute dies in his place. They would redline, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And the next one, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. They believe in the return of Jesus, from thence he shall come. But they're going to put the judging of the quick and the dead in the hands of God Almighty, not Jesus, who is not God in any sense in their model. I believe in the Holy Ghost. We put a red star by that, since that's not to be understood as a third person of the Trinity. The Holy Catholic Church, I have made that all red. Communion of Saints, made that all red. The forgiveness of sins, they do believe in. Resurrection of the body, they believe in. And the life everlasting, they believe in. So that gives you a little idea of a contrast between Christianity and Islam, and how they would, if you like, edit the Apostles' Creed to get something satisfactory to themselves. We find the beliefs that we have sketched here for Islam. Another big feature of Islam is Islamic practice. So we give next the five pillars of Muslim practice. These are features that all Muslims are obligated to obey and take different forms. First of all, the confession of faith, called in Arabic the Shahada, ritual prayer, called the Salat, obligatory alms, called Zakat, the fast of Ramadan, Saum, pilgrimage to Mecca, Hajj. Well, that's the five. Confession of faith, ritual prayer, obligatory alms, fast of Ramadan, pilgrimage to Mecca. Confession of faith. If one says the confession of faith with conviction, that's confessing the faith. So saying with conviction the sentence, La ilaha illa Allah Muhammadur Rasulu Allah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. By saying this with conviction, one becomes a Muslim. See that in Bigwi, page 65. Ritual prayer. Muslims perform prayer 5 times a day. Each prayer does not take more than a few minutes to perform, page 66. Prayers are performed at dawn, noon, mid-afternoon, sunset, and night. Obligatory alms, giving a specified percentage on certain properties to certain classes of needy people, is the obligatory alms. The percentage on money is 2.5%. People may also give as much or as little as they wish in the form of voluntary alms or charity. Page 66. Fast of Ramadan. Every year in the month of Ramadan, Muslims fast from dawn to sunset, daylight hours, abstaining from food, drink, and sexual relations. Bigwee 67. This is typically balanced by feasting during the dark hours of Ramadan. The pilgrimage. The annual pilgrimage Hajj to Mecca is an obligation once in a lifetime for those who are physically and financially able to perform it. About 2 million people go to Mecca each year from every corner of the globe. That's an interesting statistic. If you imagine that the average person lives between 50 and 100 years, let's go with 100 years, which is certainly a nice upper bound, then that would mean only 200 million people would go to Mecca in the course of their lifetime, and yet the population of Muslims on the world is something like 5 times that big. So it doesn't sound like going to Mecca is in fact something that is a standard for most Muslims. The two quotations there are from Bigwee 67-68. Well, we want to be talking here to Christians, so we've given you a very quick tour of Islam, and you would need to read a good deal more to get a good insight into details of it, the flavor of it, and all of that. And of course, it's got lots of different flavors in different parts of the world. We'll discuss a little bit about sharing with Muslims. We're going to suggest, first of all, using God's word. You should use God's word. You should be much in prayer. You should be a genuine friend. You should ask thought-provoking questions. And you should listen attentively. You should present your beliefs openly. Reason. Don't argue. So arguing is used here in the popular emotive style. Don't raise your voice and shout and get a scowl on your face and that sort of thing. Never talk down Muhammad or the Quran. Okay? Those suggestions. Use God's word. Be much in prayer. Ask a genuine. Be a genuine friend. Ask thought-provoking questions. Listen attentively. Present your beliefs openly. Reason. Don't argue. Never talk down Muhammad or the Quran. And respect their customs. And most of all, perhaps, in some sense, or a feature without which the other won't may not do much good, persevere. Use God's word. Muslims respect the sacred books. They recognize the sacred books as the Law of Moses, Torah, the Psalms, the Gospel, Injil, and the Quran. Let the word speak for itself. Quote the material to them, and let them think about what it says. Use God's word. Let the word speak for itself. Start with the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. Be much in prayer. It's God, the Holy Spirit, who changes hearts and wins people to Jesus. We can't even change our own hearts, much less those of anyone else. We need to be in prayer that God would establish the work of our hands, as Moses prays in Psalm 90. Seek God's guidance, wisdom, and power as you present the word. He might give you the words to say, that he might infuse his wisdom in you and his power as you present the word. Be a genuine friend. Saying hello isn't enough. If you really care about someone, particularly about a Muslim, given their culture, show it by inviting them into your home, by sharing your time, by helping them with their problems. Ask thought-provoking questions. instance, do you have the assurance that God will accept you? A question of what are they basing their assurance on when they stand before God in judgment? What does the Quran teach about forgiveness? May I show you what the Bible teaches? Questions like these show that you have an interest in the important things of life. Serious Muslims are rather put off by what they see in Western civilization, much of it through Hollywood and video and internet and such, and they think it very frivolous. And frankly, much of what we see today in Western civilization is very frivolous. Because if a person doesn't believe in God, what is left but to eat, drink, and try to be merry, huh? So questions like these, do you have the assurance God will accept you? What does the Quran teach about forgiveness? May I show you what the Bible teaches? What is God like, etc.? Those are things that show you have an interest in important things in life. Listen attentively. When you ask a question, courtesy requires that you listen to the answer, no matter how long it takes. You'll be surprised at how much you'll learn. Present your beliefs openly. State what you believe. Do it clearly. Do it without apology. Show scripture passages that support these beliefs. So you should at least be majoring on the majors that you can find scripture passages for, instead of obscure things that you don't know how to find scripture for. In this way, you put the responsibility for doctrine where it belongs on the Word of God. So you're not presenting these things as merely your belief. You're presenting them as what the Bible says. If they want to try and argue that the Bible has been corrupted, etc., we can respond to that. That's a more complicated argument and gets into the kind of stuff that is involved in responding to the Da Vinci Code, for instance, in which the events of the Da Vinci Code showed that the average layperson, a Christian, is not very well equipped to respond to those things. It was, however, an area where Christian apologists and Christian Bible scholars and church historians, etc., came through fairly well, and it shows us that those things are important for things. Huh? So we may need to respond to those as well. But our first thing is to get Muslims to see if they can what the Bible actually teaches. Reason, don't argue. Argument may win a point but lose a hearing. We get people too much wrapped up in winning or losing and emotions and things of that sort. They may not really be listening to what you have to say and trying to find out what is the truth. There are some points that you can argue forever on. Internal Christian history should show us that sort of thing as well. I don't think there's much chance that before the second coming we're going to have a resolution in which all Christians agree on what? Church government, age of the earth, alcoholic beverages, relationship of God's sovereignty and human responsibility, major features even of the end of the age, other than the second coming of Jesus, etc. Well, at some points you can argue forever. Even within Christian circles, you should not be surprised the same can happen between Christianity and Islam. Huh? So arguing forever basically achieves nothing and may very well close the person's mind against you. Never talk down Muhammad or the Quran. This is very offensive to Muslims. Realize, of course, that if Christianity is true, then Islam is not, and that has some strong reflections on both Muhammad and the Quran, but saying that way to Muslims is a way to end the discussion, and we're trying to get through to them, not blow them off, if you like. So don't talk down Muhammad or the Quran. That's very offensive to Muslims. Think of how you feel when someone talks down Jesus or the Bible. We may even be more used to it than they are, because we live in a culture where freedom of speech is valued sufficiently that there are many people who do talk down Jesus or the Bible, and we have no arrangements in our culture to do anything to them, if you like. Muslim countries do, and so they're not used to running into that kind of resistance. Respect their customs and sensitivities. What sort of things? Well, a lot of sort of things, and they'll vary somewhat from culture to culture within Islam. But don't put your Bible on the floor. Putting things on the floor is disrespectful, and that would read to them that you disrespect the Bible. And they might either be offended by that or might feel that validates their belief that you don't really believe what you claim to. Don't appear to be too free with the opposite sex. The customs and sensitivities in most Muslim countries is a rather strong separation between male and female. Don't refuse hospitality. They would misunderstand that. Don't make jokes about sacred topics, about fasting, or about prayer, or about God. Persevere. Muslims have a lot of rethinking to do when they are confronted with the gospel. Anytime a church person makes a change that involves major worldview, there's a lot of rethinking to do. Imagine what Paul had to go through when Christ confronted him on the road to Emmaus, and Paul suddenly saw that his whole program of putting down Christians, of following Christians, of persecuting Christians, which he thought was honoring God, was very wrong-headed. Well, that same sort of thing then would apply to the kind of problem that Muslims have. They have a lot of rethinking to do when they're confronted with the gospel. We may rest in the assurance that God's word will do its work. It will not return to him without having accomplished its purpose. But it will do it in God's time, not necessarily in our time. We get impatient. Remember, for the Christian, our first concern should be God's agenda, not our agenda. Well, that's a quick tour of understanding Islam into this talk. My prayer, may God help us to be kind to Muslims, that we might the more win some.